Today we're going to, it's about time that we come into the seventh trump. We're not there, but there are some events that happen between the sixth and the seventh that we need to be aware of. It's real easy to overlook some of the little things, only none of them are really little. So, with that having been said, open your Bibles, if you would, to Revelation chapter 11. Revelation chapter 11. Let's pick it up with verse 14, if we may, a word of wisdom from our Father. Verse 14, Revelation 11 reads, "The second woe is past, and behold, the third woe come quickly." Now, neither of those woes has happened yet, but we're slipping up on the first one, okay? "And the seventh angel sounded, and there was great voice in heaven." Got a little bit of a ring. "Saying, the kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever." That's what the ultimate is. "And the 24 elders sharpen up for me." This is what we came here for. "The 24 elders which sit before God on their seats fell upon their faces and worshiped God, saying," listen to what they say, "We give thee thanks, O Lord God Almighty, which art and wast and art to come, because thou hast taken to thee thy great power and hast reigned. And the nations were angry, and their wrath is come, and the time of the dead that they should be judged, and that thou shouldest give reward unto thy servants the prophets and to the saints and them that fear thy name, small and great, and shouldest destroy them which destroy the earth." Now, you may have overlooked something there. They gave seven prophecies. And those seven prophecies are very important. And if you're not careful, as usual, you can slide right over them. And they are unique. They are divided in two parts, 4 and 3. 4 of them are actual things God is just going to do. And 3 of them have times connected with them. They apply to times. So let's take them, if we may, one at a time, and see what the Father would have us say or understand from the 24 elders. Bear in mind, they're right at the throne of God. And what they say is not just important, it's extremely important. Okay, let's go for the first one of the seven. "Thou hast taken to thy great power and hast reigned." We find that great power in Revelation chapter 15, we'll pick it up with verse 7. Okay, 5. Let's make it with verse 5. I'm sorry, 7. "And one of the four beasts," this will be Revelation 15, 7. "And one of the four beasts gave unto the seven angels 7 golden vials full of the wrath of God." This is where God's wrath comes from. This is the 7 vials. "Who liveth forever and ever." 8. "And the temple was filled with smoke from the glory of God and from his power. And no man was able to enter into the temple till the 7 plagues of the 7 angels were fulfilled." That's the first one. God has picked up his power. That means he's about ready to take over. Hadn't done it yet, but he is about to. Let's go to Isaiah 24. That's the apocalypse of Isaiah. Isaiah 24. I'm going to pick it up with verse 17. I want you to see God's power in this, how He operates and how He comes forth. And the thing is, I want you to be comforted by this, because this power is not used against you. It's used against our enemies, as the 24 elders will illustrate. Verse 17 of the Great Apocalypse, you can teach the book of Revelation from this very chapter. Chapter 24. If I could remind you, I'm sure all of you have heard me teach it before, where it begins with, "Behold, the Lord maketh an empty earth empty." And that's where it sounds like you take a jug with a narrow, the very Hebrew word, and turn it over and pour it down. Goes, God's emptying it out. He's getting rid of it. Getting rid of what bothers you. So, calling that to your memory, verse 17. "Fear and the pit and the snare are upon thee, O inhabitant of the earth. And it shall come to pass that he who fleeth from the noise of the fear shall fall into the pit, and he that cometh up out of the midst of the pit shall be taken in the snare. For the windows from on high are open, and the foundations of the earth do shake." Father's taken over. Verse 19, "The earth is utterly broken down. The earth is clean dissolved. The earth is moved exceedingly." Verse 20, "The earth shall reel to and fro like a drunkard, and shall be moved like a cottage. And the transgressions thereof shall be heavy upon it, and it shall fall and not rise again." The transgressors are those that go against God. You don't. You're in God's service. So you have nothing to worry about this. This is against the enemy. And it's to comfort you to know God's wrath goes to those that disobey Him. God's wrath goes against those that go against the very nations of God. Let's go to verse 21. "And it shall come to pass in that day that the Lord shall punish the host of the high ones that are on high, and the kings of the earth upon the earth." And so it is. You know that we will have 10 earthly kings, and Satan will bring 10 kings with him. The 10 that Satan bring with him are very independent of the earth kings. The earth are our nations that decide to put a leader in. Doesn't necessarily have to be called a king, but a leader. And naturally, the kings that Satan brings with him, as we're going to discover before we finish this lecture, can make it a little rough on those other kings, though they're trying to kiss up. They're trying to make Satan and his buddies happy. And they get their due. Okay, let's return then to chapter 11, the book of Revelation. Let's pick up the second one. That first one was God takes His power. Now, as we come to verse 18, what is number two? "And the nations were angry, and thy wrath is come." We'll take the "nations are angry" first. That's the second of the seven. And where do we go with this? Well, we go to Psalms 2, which you're all familiar with. But there is a message there that's for this very lecture. It's very meaningful. The nations are angry. What are they angry about? Greed, thievery, trying to lord it over people, trying to lead people into worshiping something they shouldn't. And here we pick it up with Psalms 2. "Why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing?" That means they're empty-headed. The kings of the earth set themselves, and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against His anointed, saying, you know, every nation in the secular sense, if you break out the Bible, they're going to turn their nose up at you if you're arguing a case. Okay, they will not accept our Heavenly Father. Now stop and think about that a moment. The leaders of this world will not accept the Word of God as authority any longer. As a matter of fact, they go way out of the way to take God's name out of everything. You can understand why he's a little angry. He is ticked. Okay? You'll remember what happened to Sodom and Gomorrah when same-sex marriages took place in Sodom and Gomorrah. He squared things away. He is not happy with what's happening now. So the heathen are angry. They're angry at each other. They try to take over. They try to drive God out of the way, and they're preparing the way for Pretty Boy. That's to say, the false Messiah. Verse 3, let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cord from us. And God will do that. He that sitteth in the heaven shall laugh. The Lord shall have them in derision. I'm sure that he's ready. And he's anxious to get this show on the road. Because why? They deserve it. Verse 5. Then shall he speak unto them in his wrath, and vex them in his sore displeasure. He's not happy, friends. He's coming back. Yet have I set my king upon my holy hill in Zion. That's the true Christ. I will declare the decree. The Lord hath said unto me, thou art my son. This day have I begotten thee. Ask of me, and I shall give thee the heathen for thine inheritance, and the uttermost parts of the earth shall be thy possessions. You're going to control. The Lord Jesus Christ will take over one and for all times. He is the Christ of everyone. And a heathen here is a non-believer. Okay. Verse 9, thou shalt break them with a rod of iron. Thou shalt dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel. Let me tell you something. Christ is coming back on a white horse. He's not coming back in a baby carriage or in a manger, in a little pile of hay. He's coming back as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And he's going to take that rod of iron and he's going to use it. You can rest assured. Well, you mean sweet Jesus? I mean sweet Jesus. That's what he's going to do. And, you know, a lot of us would remember back that when he put together a cat of nine tails and cleaned the house. Well, the house is getting pretty bad, even nation-wise. That's going to bring him down. So you might as well get prepared for it. We're not there yet, but we're knocking on the door. Verse 10, be wise now, therefore, O ye kings. Be instructed, ye judges of the earth. Do it right. Serve the Lord with fear and rejoicing with trembling. I think it's a little late for that. We do, praise God, have some good, but mostly bad. 12, kiss the Son, lest he be angry, and you perish from the way when his wrath is kindled. But a little blessed are all they that put their trust in him. And so it is that the heathen, they can rage all they want to. They can break every law of God's word. What they're doing is digging the pit, their own demise that they're going to fall into. Because God will not stand for it. Okay, that's number two. Let's go for number three here. Back in Revelation chapter 11. We pick it up with verse 18 again, where we had just read, and the nations were angry. And here comes the third one, and thy wrath is coming. And where is that wrath coming? We find it in Revelation chapter 6, verse 17. Revelation 6, 17. I'm going to be running you around a little bit today. It's good for you. My old Bible, I had to put it aside, and I got a brand new one here. So it's giving me trouble. If I can handle it, you can. Okay. So we go with chapter 6, verse 17. Well, let's pick it up with 16. And said to the mountains and rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of him that sitteth upon the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of his wrath is come. And who shall be able to stand? And that's the way it is. I'm just going to give you a little home assignment, Psalm 76, 7. We're not going there now. We're going to go back to Revelation chapter 11. That was number 3. Here comes number 4. And the time of the dead, that they should be judged. That's number 4, and naturally you all know we find that in the 20th chapter of Revelation. Chapter 20. And we pick it up with... I'm in the wrong chapter. Chapter 20, pick it up with verse 12. Time to judge the dead. Do you know what? God's really looking forward to this. Dead means to be dead spiritually. God is not the God of the dead, but of the living, those that serve him. So if you're called dead, it means you're deader than a hammer spiritually. And that's not good. That's not good at all. This is what happens. Verse 12, Revelation 20. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their, what? Works. Not faith, their works. Now, if you're going around tooting your horn for same-sex marriages, you're in this book, all right. And you're not in a good place. Because as a Christian, you know God, that would make him very unhappy. So there's a whole lot of judging, and it's going to be fair. But the world is going to come to a sad awakening for some. And the rest of us will rejoice. Why? We've warned them. Over and over, you know. Many of you might say, well, I heard you answer a question on television. The question was, what does the Scripture say about same-sex marriage? Does it even talk about it? I said, sure it does. It's Leviticus chapter 20, and I gave him the verse. I didn't read it on television, but do you know what the verse says? A man that lies with a man or a woman with a woman, kill him. Okay. That's what the Bible says about same-sex marriage. Okay, so, you know, truth helps. It does. Verse 13, and the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged every man according to his works. That's twice that is stipulated. 14, and death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. Beloved, it's the death of your soul. They are erased. They are blotted out. They had every opportunity. You always do through Christ. He likes to forgive. Verse 15, and whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. And there you have it. That is so final. It would be very frightening to me to live in this generation and not have some truth with all the misguidance that takes place in this world. Back again to Revelation chapter 11. That was number 3, 4. Let's go for the next one. And they shall be judged. That was the fourth one. And that thou shouldest give reward unto thy servants, the prophets. That being number 5. God always gives rewards. Where does he give these? Well, Revelation chapter 10. Go there with me. Revelation 10, verse 7. And there we have it. But in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he shall begin to sound, the mystery of God should be finished, as he hath declared to his servants, the prophets. Now, I want to tell you that when it says here, when he begins to sound, he hasn't sounded yet when this is written. It's delay. The word in the Greek is mullo. It means he's getting ready to. He hasn't blown it yet. So there are things, this is why we are doing this lecture today. It tells you what's in between. And it lays it out chronologically where you have a better grasp of it. Thanks be to the 24 elders right at the throne of God that warn us. Go with me then to Amos chapter 3. Amos chapter 3, we want to pick it up with verse 7. And verse 7 reads, surely the Lord God will do nothing but he revealeth his secrets unto his servants the prophets. This is the way God appreciates the prophets. This is the way he rewards them. He gives them prophecies to teach. He gives them information to share that leads the people, guides the people. And it's a blessing of God from above. He will do nothing except he let us know beforehand. I want that to comfort you. Many of you get kind of antsy and worried a little bit. I'm telling you, he will always let us know first if you'll dig it out, if you'll search. You know, that's his reward, that he will always help you. Now, naturally, what does that mean? It means if you're one that shares it, don't ever ask just for your own self selfishly. Ask for knowledge and wisdom and understanding prophecy so you can plant seeds, so you can share it. That'll get his attention. If you do it for selfish reasons, forget it. He probably is not going to hear you. He will do nothing except he forewarn. Verse 8, the lion hath roared, and who will not fear? The Lord God has spoken, who can but prophesy? When God speaks, you can repeat it. Publish in the palaces of Ashdod. And the palaces of the land of Egypt. Look what's happening there today. And say, assemble yourselves upon the mountains of Samaria, and behold the great tumults in the midst thereof, and the oppressed in the midst thereof. And look at Syria. Look at Egypt. Look what's happening. Thousands on top of thousands. Do you know what they're dying for? Religion. That's really mockery, is it not? Their own religion, quite frankly. And it is a sad state of affairs. But Father always lets us know beforehand. And you know what happens on Mount Samaria, okay? For they know not to do right, saith the Lord, who store up violence and robbery in their palaces. They can't get along. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God, an adversary there shall be even round about the land, and he shall bring down the strength from thee, and thy palaces shall be spoiled. And so it is. It's going to happen, beloved. You might wonder, well, wonder what's going to happen to him. He just told you. He's never going to do anything that he doesn't tell you first. He's going to fix their wagon, okay? And it's coming. We're getting there. Returning then, let's pick up the next phase of what the elders would have us know. And we find that in rewarding the servants and to the saints. Beloved, do you know who the saints are? The saints, what does that word mean? It means the set aside ones. That's God's elect. They're set aside even from even the prophets. So he's going to reward his elect. That's you, in other words. Do you know where you find that at? You find it in the book of Daniel, chapter 7. Book of Daniel, chapter 7. That's in the Old Testament for some of you. That wasn't nice. Chapter 7, the great book of Daniel, let's pick it up. God rewarding his saints. And I'm going to go with verse 18. And the saints of the Most High shall take the kingdom and possess the kingdom forever and ever, forever and ever. In other words, God's saints' reward is fantastic. They assist. Then I would know the truth of the fourth beast, which was diverse from all the others, exceeding dreadful, whose teeth were of iron, and his nails of brass, which devoured, break in pieces, and stamped the residue with his feet. 20. And of the 10 horns that were in his head, and of other which came up, and before whom 3 fell, even of that horn that had eyes and a mouth, that spake very great things, whose look was more stout than his fellows. Now think about that a moment and let it just rest, okay? That's Antichrist coming as the dragon. And he has those 10 kings with him. And the reason it's different, he's going to do away with 3 earthly kings. Now, who will those earthly kings that he's going to do away with be? Well, what nation would the Antichrist be most against? One that stood for the true Christ, of course. So basically, you can figure we're talking about probably the Christian nations. But do they have anything to worry about? Uh-uh. God is rewarding the saints. He's rewarding you with truth right now as to what's about to happen. Verse 21, I beheld in the same horn made war with the saints and prevailed against them. He tried to. This is the role of the dragon as Antichrist. The dragon is none other than Satan. He goes by many names to trick and fool people. Do not let him fool you. He is the deceiver of deceivers. He is the adversary that will come in Egypt and Syria and many other places. 22. Until the Ancient of Days came and judgment was given to the saints of the Most High, and the time came that the saints possessed the kingdom. He may think he's taking over. What did Christ, what power did Christ give you even on the first advent? He gave you power over all your enemies. God's saints have an awesome power. And that power is Almighty God. and they be his servants, and they're going to take over. You just rest assured, put it in your book. That's what's going to happen. Verse 23. Thus he said, the fourth beast, which shall be the fourth kingdom upon earth, which shall be diverse from all kingdoms, and shall devour the whole earth, and shall tread it down, break it in pieces. That's this big try at one worldism. Okay. After it receives a deadly wound. 24, and the ten horns out of this kingdom are ten kings that shall arise, and another shall rise after them, and he shall be diverse from the first, and he shall subdue three kings. The false Christ will do in three earthly kings. Again, this is pretty simple if you'll keep Satan's kings, the ten, separated from the earthly ten. Why is this such a diverse kingdom? Because it's of Satan. It's not of our Father. Therefore, you want to be prepared for it. And you have power over it. Why? Because you're a set aside one. What does that mean? I hate to say it, but a saint. Okay? And most of you will fit that role, I guess. Okay? God picked you. I'm sure you're not going to argue with it. Okay? Verse 25, and he shall speak great words against the Most High, and shall wear out the saints of the Most High, and think to change times and laws, and they shall be given into his hand until a time and times and a dividing of times. That's three and a half times. But the judgment shall sit. And they shall take away his dominion to consume and to destroy it unto the end. You know, Christ is going to sit on the throne of God until his enemies are made his footstool. I hope you're beginning to see the position of the saints. I hope you know why the saints are going to be delivered up to witness against this one with the Holy Spirit speaking through you. What a time to live. In this generation, verse 27, and the kingdom and dominion and the greatness of the kingdom under the whole heaven shall be given to the people of the saints of the Most High, whose kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and all dominion shall serve and obey him. That's to say the true Christ. Hitherto is the end of the matter, and for me, Daniel, my cogitations much troubled me, and my countenance changed in me, but I kept the matter in my heart. He had a little wisdom, a great wisdom given from God, but we have lived this and seen things come to pass that makes this come to life for us. Now, in closing here in Daniel, listen carefully. Let me first explain in case you might have forgotten. This chapter 8 is where the manuscripts change back to pure Hebrew. It's Aramaic from chapter 2, verse 2, in the middle of the verse. It's in Aramaic, which is the language of the captivity. And then here, meaning what? You're free. This is the way we're freed. Okay. Listen carefully. In the third year, this is 2 years after the prior, of the reign of King Belshazzar, a vision appeared unto me, even unto me, Daniel, after that which appeared unto me at the first. And I saw in a vision, and it came to pass that when I saw that I was at Shushan, in the palace, which is in the province of Elam, and I saw in a vision, and I was by the river Eulai. Where is that? It's important. Where did this take place? You know where the Persian Gulf is? Go all the way up to the head of the Persian Gulf. And this river feeds off into Iran, right here. So here you have these events that are taking place in Iran are no accident. And it's building. And this is one of the reasons God's saints must have the assurity that God is with us, that we have this victory. It will be, you know, there'll be some rough times, but look at you're a rough bunch. Okay? You really are. You can cut it, okay? You can do it. You can plow deeper than anybody else, or you wouldn't even be in this word as deep as you are. And he's depending on the saints, and you're not going to let him down. You're going to make that stand. You're going to allow the Holy Spirit. How easy can it be? You don't even have to talk. He's going to talk through you. But this thing called this world organization, it's coming down. And you're going to have a part in it. You might as well lace your shoes up real tight and get ready for it. Okay, returning to chapter 11. The great book of Revelation. That is rewarding the saints. And that was number 6. And them, that fear thy name shall be great, and shouldest destroy them which destroy the earth. And them that fear thy name shall be great. Naturally, they're going to be. They're God's own. And should destroy them which destroy the earth. That's number 7. And where do we find these that would destroy the earth? Well, let's make a little trip to 2 Thessalonians, chapter 1. Let's pick it up with verse 6, chapter 1 of 2 Thessalonians. Seeing it is a righteous thing with God to recompense tribulation to them that trouble you. Do you understand that? Wear it real good, will you? I'll read it to you again. I just worry about these times. Don't listen to the Father. Seeing it is a righteous thing with God to recompense tribulation to them that trouble you. He's going to fix their wagon, okay? With your help, of course. And to you who are troubled, rest with us when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels. He's bringing an army with him in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. They're going to get it, okay? Who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the power of his power, or glory of his power, rather. 10, when he shall come to be glorified in his saints. There they are again. You just can't get out of the picture, can you? He's right there. And to be admired in all them that believe, because our testimony among you was believed in that day. That day before it happened, you believe what God gave the prophets, what God gave the elders, the 24, that we could be forewarned and know and understand those 7 prophecies that they would slip in there that are such a comfort that we can enjoy today. Wherefore, also, we pray always for you that our God would count you worthy of this calling and fulfill all the good pleasure of his goodness and the work of faith with power, that the name of our Lord Jesus Christ may be glorified in you. I want to say that again. In you, and ye in him, according to the grace of our God and the Lord Jesus Christ. In closing, go to Matthew chapter 25 with me. Matthew 25. And we're going to pick it up about verse 31. Just a few short verses here in closing. Verse 31 of Matthew 25 reads, "When the Son of Man shall come in His glory, and all the holy angels with Him, then shall He sit upon the throne of His glory." He's taken over. "And before Him shall be gathered all nations, and He shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. And He shall set the sheep on His right hand, but the goats on the left. Then shall the King say unto them on His right hand, Come, be blessed of My Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world." It's been there all this time. That's His promise to you. And that time is coming. Skip all the way to 41 in closing. "Then shall He say unto them on the left hand, Depart from Me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire prepared of the devil and his angels." And there you have it. The seven things shared by the 24 elders. God will never do anything but He let us know what is to transpire.
The mark of the beast on sea